Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
It's Memorial Day weekend. You never know who's going to be out and about and traveling and where they'll be and what visitors might be here and all those sorts of things. Kind of fun, kind of exciting. I hope you all have plans to enjoy tomorrow. I also hope you have plans to remember tomorrow a little bit. We have been in this, I don't know, strange journey. Not quite sure what to call it. This journey that I think is cool. Maybe it isn't. It's a little ambitious. It's a little different, I confess. If some of you were trying to figure out what on earth is the preacher doing, I'm confused. I'm hoping that as we get into, I know some of you ask that a lot. I hope that you're beginning to feel the rhythm of it. So if you're just joining us or if I've confused you in the past, the theory is we're going to spend a little time this summer looking for the way of wisdom. The Bible describes wisdom as just out there and hollering and begging us to listen in Proverbs. So every couple of weeks, we spend a little time in Proverbs, which is what we'll be doing today. And then after learning a particular lesson in Proverbs, and so today we're going to talk about stubbornness and pride, and in particular, stubborn pride. We're going to pull those things together. After talking about them in principle in Proverbs, then next week we'll begin a short journey where we'll see that played out in other parts of Scripture. In this case, it'll be Jonah. So for those of you who want to get ahead a little bit, if I haven't already told you, we'll be dealing with the four chapters of Jonah. Theoretically, right now, I'm thinking we'll take 3 weeks to do those four chapters. I don't want to dive into, so some of you might think, wow, preacher, there's so many things in Obadiah that we didn't talk about. Well, you're right. There's lots that we could have. And when we get to Jonah, the same thing will be true. There's lots of things that I'll probably leave unsaid because my point for the moment is not to try to preach every detail of the book of Jonah. My point beginning next week is going to be, let's look for this. Let's look for examples in Jonah that we saw in Proverbs in principle played out in the real life of Jonah and the real life of Ninevites and the real life of a big old fish and the real life of some fishermen and others. Okay? That's kind of the going theory here. So today what I want to do is start from where we began several weeks ago in Proverbs. We began here. I want to start here and remind you of these things, and then I want to build a little bit on Proverbs. I teased this a little bit a few weeks ago when I said to you, you know, it almost feels like Proverbs is just kind of a completely random collection of just wise things. And we read Proverbs, and it's just like jumping all over the place and bouncing from topic to topic. And while there's some truth to that, there's something else going on in Proverbs, too, that I hope to show you today. We're going to try to pull that out today. So these are words that I hope you committed to your heart and maybe to memory and maybe you wrote them down before. We talked about a basic definition of wisdom. What is it? Skill at living. And so I've said repeatedly now, people that make wise decisions tend to have better outcomes. But it's not a promise. Every single one of us has made a wise decision at some point in our life that just didn't work out. The book of Proverbs can't be taken as a series of promises. It can't be. I have currently just randomly Proverbs 10 open here, and Proverbs 10:4 says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. That's not a promise, guys. It doesn't mean that if you work hard, God's promising you health and wealth. It doesn't mean that. Moreover, it doesn't mean that a slack hand causes poverty. Look, there are occasionally lazy people that do well in life. Not very many. In general, it doesn't work out that way, but it does sometimes. Usually they have rich parents, but it can work out, right? These are not promises. These are not guarantees. Proverbs is wisdom principles, okay? So we started with all that conversation, and then we went here. And what I want to do before I read this to you, or actually, excuse me, after I read this to you, I want to pray as we begin. And I want to think today, for those of you who are a little bit more visual, today I've intentionally used blue as much as I can to make one point and yellow as much as I can to make another point. And I'm hoping that you'll begin to see that as we go. We saw this text last time. I want to read it to you again, and then as is my habit, we'll pray. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. So wisdom is not something that is hard to find. Wisdom is not something that's elusive. People say all the time, oh man, I wish I was wiser. I mean, we should all want that, but the Bible's message about wisdom is it's not this elusive, hard-to-find thing. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks, and this is what she says. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? And how long will fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Father, thank you that wisdom is crying aloud on the rooftops and the street corners, crying aloud through Scripture, crying aloud in the hearts and minds of mature believers whose example we could learn from. Thanks, God, that you have not left us blind in this world, that through your word we know everything we need for life and godliness. And through your wisdom we have the ability to make a path through this life that is a good one and a healthy one and one that honors you. Help us to live those two things, the truth we know about you from Scripture and the wisdom principles that we learn from Scripture. We put those into practice in our lives, God. What a difference that would make. What a difference we've seen it make in the lives of others. Give us that desire. Embolden us. As we are new creatures in Christ, make us more and more into the image of Jesus. Make us more wise. I pray specifically for my friends this morning, Lord, that you would make each one of us more wise through your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs. One of the great privileges that I have as a teacher is I teach an art and architecture course. And in that class, throughout the course of the year, my students paint things for me, and they sculpt things for me, and they build things for me, and they design things for me, and now, in this modern weirdo world, they 3D print things for me, right? Who'd have thought that was a thing? But it is. One of the things that a student made for me a couple of years ago, I'm going to put on screen in just a second, is a painting, and I've taken a picture of it here, and I'm going to put it on the screen. The idea that we were talking about was these kind of equal but opposite forces, and he made this painting for me, and he handed it to me, and I said, wow, it's really catching, it's grabbing me, but what is it? And he said, 16-year-old kid, he goes, Mr. Hyde, this is wisdom and folly. Like, this is the heart of man. This is, we have within us this desire to be wise, and yet so often we're the fool. I liked it so much, I said, I'm not giving this back to you. I'm keeping this one. Usually they say yes. Occasionally they argue with me. But usually they say, I'll be honored to have you. And this is in my classroom these days. Now I put the words up there. The words aren't actually part of the painting. But one of the things I want to talk about this morning a little bit and help you a little bit is especially the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, really the whole of it, but especially the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, isn't really quite as random as maybe you think it is. It's not quite as just scattered little bits of understanding as you think it is. The book of Proverbs is in many parts of it, it's laid out as the words of advice that Lady Wisdom has to give to us versus the message that Madam Folly gives to us. Some theologians call this Dame Folly. Madam Folly and Lady Wisdom. And so, for example, when you get to Proverbs 31, every woman in the house knows, and I think probably doesn't like Proverbs 31. Most women I know don't like Proverbs 31, because we men, we turn to Proverbs 31, and do this, please. Turn to Proverbs 31. We men have a tendency to turn to Proverbs 31, particularly beginning in verse 10, and we say, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. And then we continue reading. We go, okay, this is the perfect woman. I got to find this woman and make her my wife. I got to find the woman whose heart her husband trusts in and has no lack of gain. She does him good, not harm. She seeks wool and flax. She works with her hands. She likes the ship of the merchant. She brings food from afar. She rises early, early in the morning to make provision. She considers property and when to buy and sell. She makes her dresses herself with strength, and she's physically well. She perceives that merchandise is profitable. She stays up late at night working. She puts her hand to the staff and spindle. She's hospitable and opens her house to the poor. She's not afraid of snow, for all her household are well equipped for the weather, right? She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is renowned. He sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She has strength and dignity. She's funny. She's wise. She's, and we go, yeah, I got to find that woman and marry her. There it is. And every young woman I've ever known that reads this passage goes, but, like, it's too much. I can't. I'm not that woman. Who is that woman? Well, guys, that's Lady Wisdom. Okay, Proverbs 31 is describing, it's taking wisdom and describing wisdom as a woman and saying, this is wisdom. Now, I'm sure one of you, probably, you know what? I bet lots of you ladies out there are perfectly. This is you. I just described you to a T, okay? What I really did just describe is wisdom personified. So, fellas, bad news. This is not exactly a checklist for your wife, your future wife, if you're not married here today. This is not a list of demands that you can place upon your existing wife if you are married. Honey, Bible says you're supposed to be. No, slow down. This is what Lady Wisdom looks like, which means actually it's applicable to you too. Oh man, I thought this was just for the ladies. No, each of us is supposed to be wise. This is a description of Lady Wisdom. Let me put it to you this way. Here's two passages that kind of lay it out, right? So Lady Wisdom laid out in Proverbs 4, verses 5 and 8, she says, get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. So Lady Wisdom is talking to you now. Do not forsake her, Wisdom. She will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. Love Wisdom, and it will guard you. The beginning of Wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly. She will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. So we're taking the concept of wisdom and we're personifying it. We're making it as if wisdom was a human being, in this case a woman. And Lady Wisdom is throughout the book of Proverbs. We're reading general principles here or there, and then all of a sudden Lady Wisdom steps forth and says, hey, listen. And then she gives us good advice. But then just as quickly, sometimes Madame Folly pops into the story, and we're warned about her. We're warned about her. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, that's Madame Folly, the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death. Her paths go to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So on the one hand, it's certainly true that the Bible's telling you, hey, adultery? No. That's definitely true here. But what this really is, big picture, is Madame Folly, this like temptress, adulteress foolishness. And that's what folly does. It tempts us. Folly is standing over there in the corner kind of beckoning, come this way, come this way. Folly holds out things to us that look interesting, holds out things to us that look alluring to get us off the path. To get us to go down the road of foolishness. And that foolishness might be actual real live adultery, but that foolishness can be all kinds of things. That Madame Folly, always kind of in the background, seeking to do us harm, seeking just to lead us away from the covenant of God, seeking to lead us into paths of destruction. So when we're reading Proverbs, it is a somewhat random collection of good advice. Sometimes it's positive advice, do this. Sometimes it's negative advice, don't do that. But always throughout, there are these two voices, the woman of wisdom and the woman of folly. And they're speaking to us. Okay, so wisdom versus foolishness. And you can organize the entire book of Proverbs into here are things that I should do that are wise, and here are things that I should avoid because they're foolish. You could organize the whole of it that way if you wanted. So today, this morning, what I really want to do is listen to Lady Wisdom, particularly on the subject of stubborn pride. So we're going to seek to avoid Madame Folly. We're going to seek to follow the voice of Lady Wisdom as Scripture tells us a little bit about what does it mean to be stubborn and proud? And especially when the kind of the two come together, it's a fairly toxic combination. It's unlikely I'm going to say anything this morning that is revolutionary to you. Okay, maybe the Lady Wisdom, Madam Folly thing. But at this point forward, it's unlikely I'm going to say anything you haven't already heard, because the principles laid out for us here in Proverbs are well-worn. And they're things that we've heard before and we know before. But I like the fact that Mike reminded us this morning in Sunday school, we can know things, but then we just kind of let ourselves forget. We just need to be reminded once in a while. So perhaps if nothing else this morning, what I hope is that Scripture will remind you of some of the principles that maybe we've forgotten. Okay? So here's what we're not going to do. We are not going to do a couple of things. We are, first of all, not going to pull the old, well, it's just the way God made me. We're not doing that. Okay? God didn't make you the stubborn, proud person you are. Right? God doesn't want you. You're a new creation. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. You're something totally new. You now have, unlike the unbelieving world, you actually have the ability to be conformed into the image of Jesus. So we're not taking that as an answer. Don't tell you. If you've let yourself off the hook over the years and said, well, preacher, it's just the way I am. I'm just going to have to deal with it. Mm-mm. I mean, I will. I'll deal with it. But that's not the attitude that we should have. Don't you accept that from me either. We're not going to do that. But the other thing, and it's really important to me, guys, that you get this, the other thing we are not going to do today is go, all right, I'm going to roll up my sleeves. This is going to be it. This is going to be the week. I'm going to get myself wise. I'm going to do this. I'm going to stop being stubborn and proud. I got this. I got this one. I can do this. No. No, guys. It's a work of God. It's not my work. It was never my work. It's never your work. If we're really, truly going to be wise, it's going to be God at work in us who's going to do that. So I don't want the words from Proverbs now. I do want them to convict you, if that's what is needed, but I don't want them to get you off the rails into thinking, all right, I have to do this now. Right? We're in a sort of a cooperation with God Almighty, but it's not really much of a cooperation because he's the gardener and I'm just a vine. So I allow myself to be pruned and I allow myself to be cultivated, and he does the work. Okay, those are the two things we are not going to do. I'm not going to accept just the way I am. And I'm not going to accept, roll up my sleeves and get her done. Right, that's not what we're doing here. Okay? So, having said that, Lady Wisdom, what has she got to say to us? Well, here's Proverbs 8. You can, if you want this morning, follow along in your own Bible. It would be good to do, because then you can make some notes, mark some things up a little bit. But I am going to put all these scriptures up on screen for you here. These are all from the ESV, in case you're curious. Once again, we've got the blue and the yellow going on there. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance. And you put those two things together, pride and arrogance, and you get stubborn pride. You get, I'm just digging in. I am not backing down. And the way of evil and perverted speech. What does God say about those things? I hate. Little Bethany, little four-year-old Bethany. Love you, Squish, wherever you are. Hi, love. As four-year-olds are wont to do, she said to me a couple of days ago, I forget what it was. Can't remember now, Bethany. Do you remember what you told me you hated the other day? Something dumb. Some food or something. I said, all right, sweetie. It's okay, but here's the thing. We're really only supposed to hate sin and the devil. Like, I hate. Fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. But God hates pride and arrogance, the way of evil and perverted speech. Pride and arrogance. So you cannot tell me that's just how God made me. No, he didn't make you to hate your behavior. That's not okay. Moreover, you can't say that to your spouse. You don't get to say to your wife, you don't get to say to your husband, hey, how God made me. You married me. You knew I was like this. Now, y'all laugh, but people do that. Man, hate. Twice, hate in this text. pride and arrogance. And that's what happens to us, is that we get this arrogance about us, and we just kind of dig in into our pride. I'm not backing down over this or that or the other. Every man in the room at some point has played the following game. Every dude in the room has played the following game. Buddy comes over. Buddy helps you with something that you couldn't do yourself. You attempt to pay Buddy. Buddy says, no, man, you ain't paying me for that. You dutifully play the game and say, no, I need you to, and then you, no, you're not paying me. That can become a stubborn pride thing. That can become one of those. Every guy in the room, you know what I'm talking about. And I don't know, is there a lady equivalent of that? Does that happen in the world of ladies too? I don't know, I'm not a lady, I don't understand. There's a lady equivalent of that apparently. All right. All of us as men in the room, like, I get it, we're trying to be respectful and whatnot, but that also can become just kind of a stubborn pride thing. Got to be careful. God uses really strong language to talk about this. Lady Wisdom says to us, God hates such stuff as stubborn pride. Lady Wisdom says this in Proverbs 16. Everyone, oh, hate, hate's a pretty big word, preacher. Yeah, but look at this one, abomination. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. Now, let me let you off the hook for just a moment here. Preacher, you're talking to me. I don't like it. Uncomfortable. We're going to see this. What little you know, even those of you who know very, very little about the story of Jonah, you know we're going to see that, right? Like, that might be sort of the theme of Jonah in one way. We're going to see Jonah get arrogant in heart, and he will be punished. You? I mean, I don't want to gross you out here, guys, but do you really want to spend 3 days in the belly of the beast in order for God to break you? And then as you remember the story of Jonah, that really didn't even entirely. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he'll not go unpunished. So if you're looking for reasons, why should I back off on my stubborn pride? Well, number one, God didn't make you that way. That's sin within you. Number two, God just said a moment ago, Lady Wisdom said to us, hey, God hates that. And number three, you know, in case that's not a powerful enough word for you, that is an abomination. Abomination. You know where else the word of God uses abomination? The Bible uses the word abomination to describe this guy. I mean, you just tell me, do you want to be included in this conversation? Okay, stubborn pride, God is an abomination. Abomination is also used to describe this guy. You don't want to be this guy. There once was a guy who hated God's people so much that he drug an altar of Zeus into the very temple of God and sacrifice an unclean animal, a hog, on the very altar of Zeus inside the actual temple of God and defiled it for all to see. He then went so far as to outlaw the reading of God's word by God's people in Jerusalem. That guy, the Bible is described as an abomination. It's a strong word, guys. I don't want to be that. And if my stubborn pride makes me that, Lord, fix that. Lord, cultivate that out of me. Well, that's not reason enough, preacher. All right, we'll keep going. Pride goes before destruction. This is one of the more commonly quoted of Proverbs, right? And a haughty spirit before a fall, a haughty spirit. That's stubborn pride right there. I'm backing down. Well, it tends to come before a fall. Once again, these are principles. So right now, I hope not, but you might know somebody who's a really stubborn, proud person, and actually they get away with it, it seems. Maybe your boss is that person, and you think, oh, they get away with it. Yeah, but wait, the Bible's pretty clear about how these principles work out. That kind of stuff comes before a fall. That's what we do. We set ourselves up for failure. We set ourselves up to fall because we're walking in a path that's dark and weedy and tripping things are all over the place, grabbing at our ankles because we're not walking in the light of Scripture. The Bible itself says that it's a lamp unto our feet. So as we walk through life, we've got this well-lit area in front of us. Wisdom is shouting and screaming, okay, yes, okay, that good, good, that's good. Go right that way, that's good. But then when we get off of that path, now we're walking in the darkness, and it's weedy, and it's thorny, and it's bad, guys. You ever done that? Y'all been ever out in the woods at night? Like, oh, I got this. Till whack, you smacked in the head with some branch. Walk through some brambles. What's cutting my legs? Dang wild raspberries, right? Hate those things. That's what we do. Metaphorically, that's what we're doing when we leave the path that Lady Wisdom is shouting and the Word of God is shining a light on. Pride, it goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. How about this? You want to be this? Proverbs 21. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant. That's not a good word either. The Bible uses the word scoffer to describe people who are standing shaking their fist at God. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. I don't want to be that guy. I remember distinctly, my parents and I laugh about this regularly. They're not here today. They're feeling a little under the weather. But I remember distinctly a lot of years ago. I don't remember when, but I'm going to guess mid-80s, early, maybe late 80s. An actress. I don't even know if she's still alive. Shirley MacLaine's still alive? Anybody know Shirley MacLaine's still alive? She's still alive? She made a lot of movies over the years. And I remember she was maybe at the peak of her fame. Some film had come out. Perhaps it was, what's the one, Babs, that just, Steel Magnolias maybe had just come out or something. And she was being interviewed. And she was being interviewed because she's a big-time actress, but she was also being interviewed because she's a wackadoo. And so they were asking her kind of spiritual questions in the midst of this interview because she's a self-described New Age, like power of crystals and healing kind of woman. And and some, right? And so she said, and I cannot believe this. The Bible uses the word scoffer to describe what she did. She said in this interview, you know, sometimes I like to go out in my backyard and I look to the heavens and I raise my hands and I shout at the top of my lungs, I am God. Now, first of all, if we're doing that accurately, that would be this tiny little pipsqueak voice, right? I heard a Christian comedian one time recreate that very same theme. I am God. Maybe about what it would sound like. And yet at the same time, the Bible uses the word scoffer to describe that person. And uses that same word to describe my stubborn pride. Still not enough? Well, Proverbs often contains contrasts. So here's one. Blessed, on the one hand, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but, on the other hand, whoever hardens his heart. It's another way the Bible talks about this stubborn pride. Just hardening yourself, digging in, not backing down, no way. Whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Calamity's not a good word, guys. Calamity means so much more than we'll fall into inconvenience. No. We'll fall into irritation. Nuh-uh. Calamity is the kind of stuff y'all want to avoid at all cost. Calamity is the heartbreaking, tragic, awful stuff that seems to follow some people around. Who? Stubborn pride. What really, essentially, truly makes me a person of stubborn pride? Well, let's put two and two together now. If Lady Wisdom is standing at the street corner, standing on top of roofs, standing along the marketplaces, shouting and screaming and begging, "Listen to me." And what is my stubborn pride at its core? My stubborn pride is me going, "Okay, God, you've given me an entire scripture full of wisdom. Nope. I don't want that. I'm just going to harden myself. I'm going to do my own thing." Right? It's why I reject. It's why I react somewhat viscerally when students say things like, "You do you." I go, "Well, I kind of know what you mean, but no." We can't harden ourselves, guys, or we risk calamity. If we stop listening to Lady Wisdom, then Madam Folly is over there wooing us. And in our stubborn pride, we'll find ourselves in a whole heap of other troubles as well. Okay, well, how do we fix this problem? Well, look. You can be reproved. He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck. Here's yet another of the Bible's metaphor. Stiff-necked. This is not what happens when you sleep wrong. Okay, that happens to me about once a year. Does that happen to the rest of you, or am I just weird? You just wake up and you're like, what is that? Right? That's not this. Okay, stiff-necked is that idea that an animal, and I don't want to, I always fear when Brett's in the house, I'm always afraid to talk about horses. Because he's literally forgotten more about horses than I know about horses. But the metaphor is you're on a horse or a camel or something else that Brett doesn't know about, and you're trying to get it to go this way, right? So you pull on the things, the reins, right? You pull on the reins. Yeah, the little, right, yeah. A stiff-necked animal is the one that's just like, "No, I'm just not." And you can, I mean, that bit, like, it'll actually start to cut into them, right? It can if you really pull hard. And a stiff-necked animal is just not going to go that way, right? That's us. That's how the Bible describes us. He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck. There's God kind of pushing you this way. And you fight that. "I'm not doing that." Resist, you fight. It's folly. It's foolishness. We're giving in to Madam Folly. And if that's us, we will suddenly be broken beyond healing. It happens. Our stubborn pride, our stiff necks. Real basic. We come toward the end of Proverbs. If you hadn't noticed, we've been bouncing through them in order. We come toward the end of Proverbs, now in Proverbs 29. Just to put it real, real simply, to consolidate everything we've said so far, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. So there's another, often in the Proverbs, there's this on the one hand, on the other hand thing going on, right? So on the one hand, your pride will bring you low. On the other, a lowly spirit will obtain honor. Do you want to be brought low? Do you know people who have been through that, walked through that path? I'm happy to say that sometimes our folly brings us so low that we do kind of snap out of it and we wake up to the reality of our foolishness. Folly isn't the same thing as sin. They're often, you know, buddies. Folly leads us to sin. Sometimes it crashes us and we say, you know, sometimes you got to hit rock bottom in order. Well, sometimes that's true. For some people, that's true. But I hope it's not true for any of us. Because the bottom of the barrel is the absolute last place you want to go, guys. You don't want to have to fall completely off the wagon in order to wake up and realize, wow, I got to do better. So then what do we do? Because, preacher, you just told me you didn't want me to do two things. You told me 15 minutes ago you do not want me to pull the old, "Well, this is the way God made me" card. No, I don't. But you also said that we're not just going to roll up our sleeves and work at it and make ourselves less stubborn. Think about the rhetoric of that for just a second. Think about the logic of that for just a second. You're going to leave here stubborn and proud, and you're going to dig in stubborn and proud style to fix your stubborn pride? I don't think that's going to work so hot. I remember I remember listening to a college professor a lot of years ago talk about Operation Desert Storm in Iraq and toppling of Saddam Hussein and whatnot. And he said these words, just about as dumb. He said, "We are going to force the Iraqi people to be free." I don't think that's going to work the way you think that's going to work. I mean, you don't understand me, preacher. I'm going to dig in. I am going to fix this stubborn pride thing. No, it's not it. Here's what it is. Preacher, you say this all the time. Yes, I do. Read and pray and seek. You got, guys, commit yourself this week. I don't know how much Bible you read last week. Are you a minutes person? I read the Bible for 20 minutes last week, preacher. Are you a chapters person? I read 4 chapters of the Bible last week, preacher. Maybe you're just a words person. I read like 18 words of the Bible last week. Okay? Whatever that is, this week, I just want you to do more. However much Bible you put into yourself last week, put more into you this week. Now, this is a trick, right? Because you know I'm going to say the same thing next week and the week after that. And so the idea is that we just keep getting more and more of the Word of God into us. Again, I don't know how you count prayers. Man, one of the saddest statistics that Barna has ever released, and it's been a long time, I haven't looked to see if there's a new study, because the study I'm about to tell you is really old. It's probably 30 years old now. For studies, that's old, guys. For people, definitely not. Probably 25 or 30 years ago, Barna did a study about prayer. And the results of this conversation, the results of this survey and this study, they found that the average church-going, regularly attending church-going person that calls himself a Christian prays on average slightly less than 2 minutes a day. And they also found, you'll be happy to know, that the average employed in Christian ministry person, the average pastor, prays on average slightly more than 7 minutes a day. Oh. Whatever that number is, more. And seek wise counsel. How do I do that? Well, find some people that are wise and hang around with them. The opposite is also true. Examine the inventory of friends and acquaintances you have in your life, and let's be real here, guys. I was talking with Brett yesterday about the idea that sometimes you got people in your life with whom you just got to cut bait. Perhaps there is someone in your life right now that you're going, I think you just described my buddy. This entire sermon was describing my buddy. Stubborn pride. You were describing my best friend. Unless your best friend is also your husband or your wife, maybe you need to walk away from that a little bit. Seek wise counsel, which means avoid foolish counsel at the same time. Okay? So all of this is going to be on display in a whole bunch of wild and crazy and weird ways. Jonah is such a cool and such a weird book of the Bible. Next week we're going to begin with Jonah chapter 1, if you want to read ahead. Ginny, I know, always likes to. Jonah chapter 1, we're going to go through Jonah chapter 1 and see along the way stubborn pride, and we're going to see the opposite of stubborn pride. So Jonah, we're going to listen to Lady Wisdom, and we're going to see Lady Folly, Madam Folly, but we're going to avoid her as we work our way through for a few weeks. The book of Jonah. Would you pray with me? Father God, this whole wisdom business is in some ways overwhelming. And it seems so hard sometimes. I find myself making the same dumb, foolish mistakes over and over again. And I suspect that these, my friends gathered, would say the same about themselves. Folly is everywhere. And God, I confess to you, it's kind of hard to live in this modern America, because I can't even watch the news anymore. It's just 100% the voice of Madam Folly talking to me. And that's hard. And I have nowhere to turn. We, your people, have nowhere to turn but you. And you've given us great wisdom in Scripture. And sometimes it's direct instruction. You tell us, do this. And sometimes you say, don't do that. And then you give us role models, positive role models, be like this guy, negative role models, don't be like that guy. All through Scripture, Lady Wisdom is hollering, begging, pleading with us, And God, I confess to you on behalf of my friends this morning that altogether too often, we don't listen. In our stubborn pride, we just refuse to hear. By your Spirit, God, you've promised us, right at the beginning of Proverbs there, that if we will hear your reproof, you'll pour out your Spirit upon us. God, by your Spirit at work within us, take away our stubborn pride. Pull our hands away from our ears so that we could hear Lady Wisdom more clearly. Make us more and more into the image of Jesus. Give us the wisdom that we so dearly need, so desperately lack. Conform us into the image of Christ. Father, there's no higher calling than that in this life. I pray that you would do these things, not for our benefit, although it will benefit us, but for your glory, Lord. I pray this in the name of Jesus.